are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. I am Patricia Traina, your host. I cover your New York Giants for a variety of places. If you want to keep up with my work, please give me a follow on Twitter at Patricia_Traina, where I'm posting my links to articles, to radio spots, guest podcast appearances, you name it, it's all there. And I do appreciate the 23,000 or so of you who are following me. I appreciate those of you who are listening to the program. And today we have another great show planned for you. I have a special guest. This is a gentleman who is very deeply involved in college scouting, does a great job before the draft. I really enjoy his work, and I recommend you check out his work. His name is Charlie Campbell, and he's with Walter Football. Charlie, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Great to talk to you again, Patty. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Always a pleasure to hear from you, Charlie.
You too. It's a good time to catch up as we are about to really get into the throes of draft season here.
Absolutely. And it's starting to heat up, Charlie. I mean, I see where invitations and RSVPs are starting to come back for the Senior Bowl. I mean, I know you've been tracking that. What are your thoughts on some of the names that are coming back? Any names surprising you? Any names that, you know, you're eagerly anticipating to hear from?
Well, I think it's going to be a really talented year in Mobile. I mean, they've been done such an excellent job of bringing in good talent to that game to make it really important for the draft, as we saw last year with Baker Mayfield going first overall, Josh Allen going in the top 10. Both of those guys really helped themselves at the Senior Bowl. So it's really a place where I think players do more for them than hurt them. And we've seen that with a lot of guys. This year, there's some really excellent talent coming in. I think starting off the bat, you look at Josh Allen, the outside linebacker at Kentucky, very good speed rusher. He just dominated some games this year against Florida, against Missouri to help Kentucky get to some huge wins and crack the top 10. And this isn't his first year of good play. Last year, he was really good, could have been maybe a late first round, early second round pick, decided to come back to school. So he's going to be at the Senior Bowl. He'll be a great player to watch. Zach Allen, defensive end from Boston College, another potential first rounder for the Giants, say in their 3-4, he might be a good fit as a 5 technique, defensive end and pass rusher. He really studies J.J. Watt a lot. He's not J.J. Watt in terms of skill set, but a friend of mine who was in the scouting room when the Texans drafted him said, well, J.J. wasn't J.J. when we drafted him. So, you know, these players are young and developing, and Zach Allen's got a lot of talent. So those are some guys that I think would look really good in a Giants uniform if they don't go quarterback. But as always, quarterback will be very important at Senior Bowl. Drew Lock, that's a name for Giants fans to really watch that week. Big armed quarterback, has a personality similar to Eli Manning and a skill set that's similar to Jay Cutler in speaking with scouts. Huge arm, can make any throw, underrated mobility, good athlete. He's actually a really good basketball player as well, so that kind of illustrates his athleticism, but he's more of a quiet guy. Kind of nerdy, not the rah-rah leader kind of guy in the locker room. So certain teams will like that, others won't. But he'll be at the Senior Bowl, key player to watch. And then some other potential second-day quarterbacks that could be Giants come 5-6 months from now. And that would be Clayton Thorson from Northwestern, excellent player. Goes under the radar because he didn't put up huge numbers at Northwestern, Will Grier is kind of the opposite, not as good of a skill set, put up huge numbers for West Virginia playing in the Big 12 where they don't play defense. So the both of those quarterbacks could be in play for New York on day two, along with Ryan Finley from NC State. He's another really nice quarterback prospect, a bit more of a game manager, but could be second, third round pick. That was another guy to watch in the Senior Bowl.
Charlie, I know you sort of pay attention to what's going on around the NFL because, you know, it helps you, I'm sure, with assessing needs and
absolutely
mock drafts. So I wanted to ask you about Eli Manning. What you have seen from Eli Manning, this is actually a two-part question. A, do you believe he can still function another year or two if need be? And B, if you were designing the transition plan for the Giants from Manning, how would you go about it?
Well, that's a great question. One, I think he can play another year or two, but I don't think he's capable of bringing the Giants another Lombardi. I think at this point in his career, the best that he could get them would be on the edge of the playoffs, maybe a little bit better than what they've been if they continue to improve the talent around him and on both sides of the ball, say next year. And, you know, really, they're a Graham Cano, 60-some-yard field goal away from being 6-7 and right in the wild card race for that last wild card. So, but I think that's kind of the ceiling of Eli Manning right now. So I think the Giants have a roster that is ready to really is on the verge of being at the point where they could really make some noise in the NFC. They have elite players on offense that can carry them to do some special things. So I think they're kind of a quarterback away from really being able to challenge the likes of Philadelphia and Dallas in the East, but also the elite teams in the conference in New Orleans, the Rams, potentially the Bears coming up here as well. So I think that they still have to do something at quarterback for the long term. And I think there's a few ways to tackle that, you know, like you mentioned with the transition plan. I think depending on where they're picking in this draft, say if there aren't good quarterback options available in the first round, then I think, and you'll be able to know that pretty quickly, kind of by the time of the combine, realistically, who's going to be there roughly and what it might take to move up and whether that's even feasible. So at that point, I think they have the decision. Is there a first-round quarterback we like enough and we believe in that's going to get there? That's the hope. If that doesn't work, but there's some quarterbacks they like on day two, then I think you take maybe the best defensive player available in the first round because this draft is really good defensively in the top 20. There's going to be some really good players that go, and then you look to get a quarterback on day two and maybe a veteran in free agency as well to kind of tackle it from two routes. And then that maybe a year later, you take a quarterback in the first round if you don't see good development out of that rookie and you haven't forced it and overdrafted a quarterback in the first round and end up with, say, a Jake Locker or EJ Manuel or Blake Bortles, and the list goes on and on of these reaches in the first round. So that's kind of what I would do if I was Dave Gettleman. I'd look at, if we don't have a good quarterback in the first round, take one on day two, a guy like Thorson from Northwestern, and then, you know, try and get a veteran in free agency, and then look at potentially using a first round pick in 2020. To go up and get a young one if you don't like what you're seeing from that day two guy.
You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Charlie Campbell of Walter Football. We're going to take a short break, come back, talk more draft, talk more Giants, talk a little free agency with Charlie. So stay with us. The Locked On Podcast Network is doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter,
Follow Locked On NFL Net to get all the latest breaking news and game highlights from the Locked On Podcast Network NFL hosts, all on one convenient feed. On Instagram, Locked On NFL Net gives you the biggest stories, including audio cuts as provided by the various Locked On NFL team hosts. Make sure you follow Locked On NFL Net on both Twitter and Instagram to get your daily fill of the NFL.
Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. You're with Patricia Traina, and I have on the line with me Charlie Campbell. He does a great job for Walter Football. He's at the All-Star Games. He covers the draft, all the college games. Check out his work at walterfootball.com. You won't be sorry. It's really good stuff. And Charlie, let's continue talking about this draft class coming up. I know it's not complete. You mentioned in the previous segment that this is a really good class for defensive players. Can you just kind of narrow it down a little bit more, though? I mean, where is the strength? Is it pass rushers, cornerbacks, linebackers, or is it just across the board? And how do you see the strength of this defensive class fitting in with the Giants' needs and they basically got needs across the board, I think, at defense?
Yeah, I mean, with this draft defensively, the strength is defensive line, first and foremost. On the interior is better than the edge, but the edge is still good as well. So whether you want an edge defender, a defensive end, five technique, or 3-4 outside linebacker, there's quality talent there. There's superb talent on the inside. For defensive tackle, for a 4-3 scheme, or in the 3-4 guys who can kind of bounce around from playing that 5 technique, moving inside to rush in the sub package, say like as a 3 technique, you know, defensive coordinators are ever fluid in what they line up and what they use and how they deploy guys these days. So really, you don't see just a strict 3-4, 4-3 now anymore. There's such hybrid usage of these defensive players. So the Giants could really come away with a good defensive player for, I think, looking at the Giants, if in a perfect world, it would be an edge rusher, say like Josh Allen, the outside linebacker from Kentucky, would be a great fit. About 6'5", 260. He can also drop in coverage. We've seen this year, he had a huge play breaking up a 2-point conversion to help them upset Florida early in the year, really showed improvement in his pass coverage, dangerous edge rusher. He'd be a nice option. You look at some other defensive end edge rushers to consider, like Rashawn Gary from Michigan. He's got a top 5 skill set, but he'll probably go in the 10 to 20 range. Then you as well, Cleland Farrell from Clemson has a really nice track record here over a few seasons of getting after the quarterback. He could be an edge rusher for them that could go in that middle of the first round. So they have those options there. And I think that would kind of be the best value for them if they drafted defense in the first round. A cornerback, I think, would also have to be in play. And DeAndre Baker from Georgia, I think, would be the number one choice of cornerbacks in this draft. It'll be interesting to see kind of with the final order where the Giants are and whether the top cornerback will get to them, being such an important position in the passing driven NFL. But he's another guy that I think would make sense to be in play for the Giants first round pick.
Charlie, obviously, before we get to the draft, we have to go through free agency. And I don't know if you've really studied the free agency class or how that's shaping up. And of course, I tell people this because, you know, it's going to change, obviously. Guys are going to get released. Guys that are projected to be free agents are going to be resigned and whatnot. But based on what information is currently available about the free agency class, how does it complement the draft? In other words, where is maybe this free agency class maybe stronger than the draft class and vice versa?
Well, I think for the free agency, it's not going to be stronger on the defensive line, I would say, than the draft. I think you're going to get better value unless you're going to pony up the money for someone like Jadeveon Clowney or Ndamukong Suh, and that's just going to cost a fortune. I don't think the free agency class is going to provide a whole lot there in terms of compared to what the value you'd get from using your first round pick on one. What I do think the Giants could do is maybe kind of add, whether it's some kind of, maybe not superstar players at this point, but quality pros that can contribute maybe to strengthen their secondary. You could look at, I think there's some quality cornerbacks, some decent safeties that would be able to help there. I think the offensive line also could use some additions. I don't know. We've seen in recent years these offensive linemen getting some huge contracts because it's so competitive to sign them. But obviously, after signing Solder last year, they don't need to spend huge money on a left tackle. But maybe adding some interior veterans would be good for the team, just to build up their depth and also have some competition and options up front. So I think on the inside of the offensive line, they might be able to find some, swing guys that could maybe help them at center and guard. And I think Will Hernandez will develop and can, be a really nice guard for them down the road. So there's some good options there, I think, in terms of just veteran interior offensive linemen, some veterans in the secondary. That would be a good fit for the Giants. And also linebacker, if they wanted to add more linebacking veterans, edge rushers, you could see some guys like Derek Morgan, Brian Arakpo come to mind. They're going to be free agents. I know there's a few others who maybe aren't going to be superstars at this point, like Dee Ford. He might get more money, but there's going to be some quality guys that could rotate in and give you some good snaps, not superstar caliber money, but we'll get some decent money and could be rotational solid pros for a few years here.
Charlie, when you look at the Giants, they have some cap decisions they need to make. Olivier Vernon comes to mind. The guy's been plagued by injuries, not his fault, but just the production hasn't been there. Do they keep Janoris Jenkins at cornerback? He's due a $13.5 million cap hit. And what do they do with Landon Collins, who's going to be a free agent? I mean, if you were making those decisions, what avenue would you pursue?
Well, I'm a big fan of continuity for teams in general. I think that leads to winning overall in terms of coaching staff. I'm not a big fan of doing lots of coaching firing and bringing in new staffs, and then you've got to draft or sign guys for a new scheme. So I'm much more of one to bring about continuity towards the roster rather than flipping it consistently. So if I were them, I would try and bring back Landon Collins. I think it might be smart to add a coverage safety to go with him to kind of help let him do what he does best and keep him out of situations that really aren't his strength. So I think if you bring him back, you also want to try and get a veteran safety that can help in coverage. I think as far as Vernon and Jenkins, I would want to hold on to them if the price is right. I would try and, see about potentially negotiating, changing that contract around to make it a bit, bit more friendly to the team in terms of the cap hits and what's being spent on them. But I'd prefer to do that rather than just cutting them and opening up a few more holes on the roster that you have to fill. I think after trading Eli Apple, cornerback's already a need. Now, if you let Jenkins go, now you have another spot at the position, and that's just such a critical position in the NFL. And good cornerbacks just don't, they can be tough to find. So I would try and keep them at a reduced rate if possible.
You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Charlie Campbell of Walter Football. We're going to take our final break, come back, and talk a little bit more Giants and draft. So stay with us.
Hey, Giant fans. Bragging rights and huge cash prizes are up for grabs this weekend and all season long at DraftKings, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. How huge? We're talking over $1.5 million in total prizes. With one-week fantasy at DraftKings, you choose when to play. Draft a new team every week with no season-long commitment. At DraftKings, you are the GM. Just choose your players, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. No matter what your skill level is, there's a contest waiting for you at DraftKings. So if you've been thinking about trying one-week fantasy football, now is the time to play. Because nothing makes Football Sunday more exciting than when you have a DraftKings lineup in the line. And you can play free with your first deposit to compete for your share of over $1.5 million in total prizes. Go to DraftKings.com or download the app today. Use the code LOCKEDON to enter a contest for free this weekend with your first deposit and compete for your share of over $1.5 million in total prizes. That's code LOCKEDON, only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Welcome back, Giant fans, to segment three of Locked On Giants here with Patricia Traina and special guest Charlie Campbell of Walter Football. And we are talking draft. We're talking an early preview of Giants free agency and kind of glancing ahead. I know the Giants have a couple more games left to play, but we're kind of looking ahead because I know a lot of you guys ask me about the draft. You ask me about free agency, and it's always good to get someone on who knows that stuff better than I do at this point, and who better than Charlie, who does an excellent job with the Walter Football. Charlie, let's go back to the draft if we could. You know, I like to ask you this question every year because you're really good, I think, with coming up with it, with the answer to this question. I know it's early. I know you've got to go through the All-Star games, the Senior Bowl, the East-West Shrine, the Combine. But right now, if you had to give me some sleepers that you think would be, you know, that have Giants written all over them, who would those guys be?
Well, yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think, first of all, I look at quarterback because, you know, with the way the Giants are going and the way teams are moving up for quarterbacks, and Justin Herbert, the top quarterback from Oregon, could go back to school, conceivably Dwayne Haskins could as well at Ohio State. If those two guys go back to school, you may only have one first-round quarterback in Drew Locke, and he could easily be gone, or maybe both of the guys are gone via trades if there is two of those three, kind of like Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, and the Giants are picking lower, and there's no one there. So as far as a quarterback value, I really like Clayton Thorson from Northwestern. Bill Parcells, you know, he had a motto of he wanted quarterbacks to have 30 starts in college, a 3-year starter, roughly, who's been through the ups and the downs and has developed and gotten a lot of reps. Well, Clayton Thorson set the Big Ten record for starts. He's in the 50s going into his final game. He has a big arm. He's a big quarterback. He's got athleticism. You couldn't see it as much this year because he tore his ACL in the bowl game last year. But he really elevates his team around him. He got Northwestern to the Big Ten championship, first time that they've ever gotten there. His offensive line was terrible. I mean, the past 2 years, he was under constant pressure, showed his toughness, never missed a start, and his wide receivers were even awful, even worse than the offensive line. They couldn't separate to save their lives. So he's throwing contested catches all the time. It hurt his touchdown and completion percentage, but his accuracy was tremendous, spinning balls into openings the size of a shoebox. For if you don't believe me, just watch the Michigan State game from this year or the Wisconsin game from last year in 2017, bringing his team back on the road in the fourth quarter, making it a close game. So Thorson is really intriguing to me. I think, and I've also heard from scouts that say he's a great teammate. Every part of the locker room he can relate to and loves them, and the team really rallies around him. So I think he's a real sleeper on day two. Elsewhere, I think they could find a nice pass rusher in the second round if, say, they do land a quarterback in the first round. I think Brian Burns from Florida State would be a nice fit in their 3-4 as an edge rusher. Aside from him, Jalon Ferguson from Louisiana Tech, the edge rusher from Old Dominion, Porter Gustin from USC is a talented player, has had a lot of injuries. He could be had on day two, potentially in the mid rounds. So those are some sleepers in this good D-line class that in other years they might go higher, but because there's so many good first round pick talents on the defensive line, some of these guys are going to get pushed lower and they're going to be really nice values for their teams on day two. So those are kind of the sleepers that I really think could be Giants and could be good value picks for New York.
Now, Charlie, I don't know how much you follow social media and see, you know, what the fans are saying. Everybody has their opinions, obviously, about different players and who, you know, who's the fit for the Giants, who's the fit for this team. You know, I get people all the time say to me, oh, I watched every single game that so-and-so played and he's definitely got to be a Giant. Are there guys that are being discussed that are either coming out in the draft or just seem to be popular favorites of the fans that you feel just, you know, they're not really fits for the Giants?
Yeah, I would mention one that comes to mind as a guy I just wrote a blog on, and that's Trayvon Mullen, a cornerback from Clemson, a guy who has a nice skill set and size and speed, but really hasn't played up to it. There have been mocks with him going high in the draft. But in speaking to team sources, I've spoken to multiple scouts who've been through Clemson. They project him more as a mid-round pick. So he's kind of a media hype, but his play doesn't match the hype. So that would be one that comes to mind. Greedy Williams, another one, not quite to the extreme as Mullen, but I know team sources feel he's pretty overrated in terms of he's not a high first-rounder. They think he's more of a late one caliber player, but there have been projections of him going really high. And the team sources that I've spoken with, including one GM, said that Georgia game, Alabama game showed what they everything you needed to see he's not a high first round pick. So those cornerbacks, I think there could be some fool's gold there in terms of those prospects with compared to the media hype that's being generated around those guys.
What about the quarterback class? Now, I know last year everybody was very high on the quarterback class. They felt that it was, you know, one of the best classes since 2004. I know the class isn't complete yet because we don't know as of this recording if Justin Herbert's coming out. I'm sure there are other guys who still need to decide whether or not they're coming out. But how would you kind of assess the quarterback class, how it's shaping up? Is there a clear-cut, you know, top pick? Is everybody kind of muddied and running together?
Yeah, it's more muddied and running together in basically two groups. Your day one group, which could be Drew Lock, Justin Herbert, and Dwayne Haskins. And then your day two group, which could be Thorson, Ryan Finley, Will Greer, some of these other quarterbacks could push their way into that conversation if they do well at these all-star games and combine and whatnot. But I think that this year at quarterback, it's muddied together. There isn't a clear-cut, say, Andrew Luck caliber prospect in this class. Or, you know, there isn't even a Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota kind of guys that clear-cut, they're going one, two, you know, no doubt about it. This draft doesn't have one of those guys. So it's going to have maybe 1 to 3 first round picks, guys that are worthy of going in the first round, but not a caliber of Luck, you know, kind of quarterback. So that's really what you're looking at there. And then the day two guys, I think Thorson, Finley, really stand out as potential nice gets in the second round. But it isn't as good a year as last year. And next year looks like it could be pretty good. 2020 could be a strong year at quarterback. So that's something to keep in mind also for these teams. You never want to turn down the chance to pass on a franchise quarterback, and you also never want to have a bust that sets you back for 5 years like Gettleman talked about last year. So that's the risk in passing and the risk in taking. You don't want to force it and take a guy in the first round that's going to be the next Blake Bortles.
And Charlie, you know, speaking of, you know, quarterbacks and everything, last year we saw a lot of trades, a lot of movement before the draft, obviously to get into good position to get those quarterbacks. With the class probably not as strong as it was last year, do you anticipate that it makes sense for teams to trade a lot, especially to move up in the first round with no clear-cut quarterback that is, you know, the it guy, if you will, you know, to give up that kind of capital? Or do you see it maybe being, you know, there being a lot of trades because, as you said, there's so many good edge rushers and teams, you know, eat those guys up like crazy?
Right. Yeah. And there'll be plenty of teams that want to move down. That's never an issue. But I do think there will be movement for quarterbacks. The league has shown that it's trending in that way, whether it's the Eagles moving up for Wentz and then the next year with the Bears, Texans, and Chiefs moving up for their quarterbacks. The Bears was only one spot, but the Texans and Chiefs gave up huge, you know, draft capital to move up for Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes. And then last year you see the Jets moving up, the Bills moving up, the Ravens moving up, the Cardinals moved up. So I think that the quarterback desperate teams will be following that and saying, hey, it worked for Houston, it worked for Kansas City, it worked for Philadelphia. You know, I think the league is showing that these teams have to be, some of these teams that kind of stuck in mediocrity in the middle of the first round and the quarterback no man's land, the only way they're going to get out of it is moving up for a guy and giving up some big draft capital to do it. So I would expect you could see that kind of movement again this year, even though there isn't that top guy like an Andrew Luck.
It's interesting because, like you said, if you trade up and you get the wrong guy, you set yourself back for years.
Exactly. Virtually. Very risky.
It is risky. And, you know, in thinking as you were saying that, Charlie, the Giants are kind of in a weird spot because, you know, as we record this, I think they're scheduled to draft 9th. And obviously, they're, you know, the hope is they're going to be better and yet have a better record next year. But the lower they go, if next year's draft class, and I'm talking to about 2020, if that quarterback class is better and they can't find a guy before that, you know, they're going to be in a weird situation, I guess.
Right. They could end up kind of being like Houston was for a few years there, where they had a really good defense and they had Matt Schaub and then, you know, Fitzpatrick and Brian Hoyer and Brock Osweiler. And they're, you know, kind of they're sneaking into the playoffs based on their defense, but they're not going as far as they could because that quarterback's holding them back. And they were kind of in that quarterback purgatory of not being one of the worst